My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Not to reveal that we've been here a long time, but this kid is 33 now. I saw a news story about him. He's the new United States ambassador to Oman.
All right. Somebody's got to do that job.
You get in
thankless,
the door early.
Ambassador job.
You get in there early, young, people get to know who you are, and then it's just easier. Much tougher when you wait.
I'm sure I would have thought to tell my kids that when they were young.
He's the new ambassador to Oman. That kid, by the way. So that's a feel-good story.
Entirely on the back of that appearance on our show.
That's
for weeks on end.
Really. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I shouldn't entirely. It started the ball rolling for him.
Yes. Local politicians took a liking. Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
If the sound of you taking a sip of that coffee just now was audible to our audience, you just made a lot of people thirsty for a cup of coffee.
Is that right?
Yeah. That sound sounded. There's no way anyone. Well, I guess someone might think it was tea. It's a hot beverage slurp. It wasn't a aggressive slurp, but like it was audible to me.
It's actually Lake Hour.
But I'm sitting in here with headphones on. Lake Hour, 2 days in a row making an appearance on the show. And I just thought, I don't really want coffee.
Why not?
Never drink coffee at this time. I just don't. It messes me up, man. I'm a very delicate being. I'm a big, burly dude, but any little thing can just tweak me out. So like caffeine at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Forget it. It just really could.
There are a lot of people
up.
Like that.
So, but with that said, like I heard that sound. I thought I could go for a cup of coffee right now.
I made some. I didn't take it all. What I did take.
Hang on, I'll be right back. No,
I'm not. What I did take is a stab at the Week 19 schedule this morning.
I saw some action on the sites.
I don't think it could get much easier. I could be wrong. Like, they could do something.
Well, all along, it's
they could
made
break
sense.
Form.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. I mean, what have we said for years that first Saturday game, that's the AFC South game. So that lock that in. So the Houston Texans hosting someone. That makes sense. It's not a super attractive team, and they probably won't be playing someone super attractive.
Let's play it out, like, in order. So that would be against either the Chargers or the Steelers or the Ravens. Right, that could still be the Ravens.
Okay.
If Pittsburgh flips that, it would be Baltimore at 5. If Pittsburgh wins tomorrow and Baltimore wins, it would be Pittsburgh at 5. If Pittsburgh loses, Chargers win, it's the Chargers at 5. It's one of those three teams. I think that's Saturday afternoon.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
I like that the Steelers and the Ravens, who are playing this Saturday, will probably also play next Saturday. That's my thinking is that you don't want to force somebody else into short rest.
Right.
And for those two teams who haven't played since the previous Wednesday either, that isn't short rest. So they could also play each other.
Yep.
And then you need another game for Saturday, which would be Houston and the Chargers, right. And I think that's fine.
The only thing that gets in the way of it a little bit to me is Lamar Jackson's presence as a two-time MVP and the Ravens as a thought-to-be contender. If they're the opponent for Houston, I could see the network thinking we're wasting Lamar Jackson in this early window. But the Saturday point, I think, might override that. Probably should, from a fairness standpoint, override that.
And they've played on Saturday a bunch. Like last year, the second round game was on Saturday. The night they lost to Tennessee, when they were the one. That was on a Saturday. The game here was on a Saturday. Yep, so right. I think it lines up.
I think it does too. I've liked all along a 4-5 for that Monday night slot because I think the thinking is that leaves fewer teams that could be impacted by having to wait until Monday night to find out who they're playing.
Every year they've done it that way.
Right. So, you know, if it's Baltimore, could, you know, ABC, ESPN be like, hey, you know, because that's 4-5, that could work for them, but now you're giving, it's not fair. So I like the NFC game, which I think is what you did, is putting the four down there on Monday night.
Because the Lions and Vikings would have the shortest rest playing Sunday night. And that's high stakes. That's the one game this weekend that's high stakes. So I think, in fairness, you'd want to give them the extra day. The Lions especially. Like, the Lions have been such a story this year. That game could be Lions-Rams.
Right, so, right. Whoever loses that game Sunday night between the Lions and the Vikings is going to be the four in the NFC.
Will be the five.
Oh, the five, excuse me. The wild card team, right.
And the four will be either the NFC South winner or the Rams. But the Rams are starting Garoppolo. Like, they could move, but they don't seem to care that much. They're prioritizing rest. So if they lose and Tampa beats New Orleans as a 2-touchdown favorite, there you go. I think the Monday night game. The 4-5 in the NFC will be the Vikings-Lions loser at LA. That's great.
Yes, it is. That's a very good Monday night capper.
It's great, and it gives that little bit of extra element of fairness to the Lions-Vikings loser who will have to go on the road facing three road games in the playoffs versus two home games to the winner and a trip to California.
With a 14-win season.
With a 14-win season. That's right. That's your Monday night game.
That's incredible.
And Sal says, we went through it the other day. Like, every year, this is the fourth year of it, every year that's been a 4-5 game. And in the NFC, I don't think it has to be in the NFC.
Right.
But I think the AFC is sort of settled, so I think that's your Monday night.
Yeah.
And even if it's Tampa, it's a little bit less for me if it's Tampa or Atlanta, but I think it still works.
All right. Because one of those could be the four.
Yes, if the Rams win, they're the three for sure.
Right.
With Garoppolo.
I like how I just learned that Jimmy Garoppolo's on the Rams.
There you go.
I probably knew it at some point or another, but it's nice. I feel like, here comes another coffee sip. Sorry. You were very quiet that time.
It's become a distraction.
I'm just trying to help, you know, the coffee industry move coffee.
I can tell. So you have, if the plan is, the puzzle for me is the two AFC games on Saturday next week, 4:30 and 8. 4:30 Houston, that's the law. Like Seinfeld had that joke where my parents turned 70, so they moved to Florida because that's the law. Houston, that's the law. 4:30 on Saturday, 8 o'clock, AFC North. Then if 4-5 NFC is Monday night, which we think makes sense, I think you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Sunday night next, the Eagles. We know they're locked in as the two.
Right.
Green Bay. Or Washington, I think, maybe, but Green Bay.
Either one. Washington's a division rival. Like, it's not as hot as like Dallas, Philly has been, or but that could be, that definitely works.
Green Bay, Philadelphia is probably the game of the weekend, unless it's like Lions, Rams. But still, like that's great. Big market, Packers. There's your Sunday night, which leaves 1 and 4:30 on Sunday for the Bills game. And the other NFC game, Tampa, Washington, Bills, Denver's.
Tampa, Washington sounds like it should be on a Saturday, by the way. I'm just saying.
It was. When Brady played for Tampa in Washington, it was on a Saturday. So you might have that. That could happen. This is a much different Washington scene, though.
Yes, it is. With Jaden Daniels, like they're one of the coolest stories in the league this year. I think, right? He's
well, unless you count Denver's. I need some acknowledgement that I said Denver's. The Bills against the Denver's. They're taking them lightly up there. You know it. You can tell, you can hear it. You just listen to the radio show.
Yeah.
1 o'clock Sunday works. What if it's Cincinnati? Maybe that's better. That's a better game nationally. Maybe that's a late game and you move the Bucks. Otherwise, I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah. I like it. I don't have any. I think it's too well thought out for me to poke holes in.
Well, we'll try to do better next time.
I mean, I already said, the one thing that could mess up Houston at 4:30 is if it's Baltimore, but the rest factor should win out there. And fairness, so I think that all makes perfect sense.
We are obviously we can't pretend that we're not looking past New England, and hey, we're culpable. Go ahead, 803-0550 Football Friday. The guys are looking past New England. The story of the week has been who sits, who doesn't. Find that the injury report has one or whatever guys that aren't. Whatever, like a bunch of them are not going to play. Like that's
right.
Injury report or not, that's going to be the story here.
I love the injury report because it seems like most everyone's healthy, and even the only guy that's ruled out of this game is expected to be fine to play next week, and that's Bernard, inside linebacker, an important piece, guy that they really missed last year in their second playoff game. I'm a fan of the injury report because it looks encouraging, but yeah, I don't expect many of the people listed on it as fine to do much of anything on Sunday because there's no reason for it, you know. So, you know, how soon they get out of, you know, Josh Allen handing the ball off a few times to keep his starting streak up, I think probably dictates how long any of the starting offensive linemen play. I would expect them to come out with Allen, provided they have enough personnel to do that, and they should be able to manage that with maybe one offensive line practice call-up, and they'll have a complement of five dudes, and, like, there you go.
They've had games where, like last week, where the backup line was on the field.
Yep.
So they've got guys for that. So how do you rank this? You know, the injury report can factor in, but if really you don't have so much pressure on that front to sit certain guys, like the next, I think for me, this is debatable. I'll throw it out there. Who's the next most important guy on the team? Dawkins maybe is the next most important guy on the team. I think it's Dawkins or my corners. And so who do I want to sit? If a safety or two, a linebacker, someone else, a wide receiver has Amari Cooper has a nagging thing.
He is in a sweatsuit all day long.
Cooper,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he's the next most important guy, but he's a veteran guy. He is banged up enough that he showed up on the injury report after a day of what Wednesday was the walkthrough simulated thing, whatever. So they actually practiced on Thursday, and there he is with a back, full participant, but still. Yeah, I don't need. If I'm in such bad shape at receiver depth wise in the game that I would have to tap Amari Cooper on his shoulder pad and say, you need to actually go in now because we're out of guys. I'm sorry, I'm playing with no receivers if I have to.
Okay.
Like I will line up however I need to line up.
Man, he's had a few things already. Like
yeah,
he also landed on his head on the touchdown catch against the Jets. And I read he went to the tent. Like there was an evaluation of a head injury for Cooper, and then he was back.
Right, because he landed on his tailbone, but then hit the back of his head on the ground when he landed. I was really worried about him when that play happened.
Like, he stayed down.
I thought, oh no, yeah, right. And then he was back in the game, and again, it seemed fun. But anyway, it's been a few different things. He's still wearing I saw a locker room, celebration video after the Jet game, and you can see he's still got some kind of a brace on around his thumb and wrist area. So he's had things. I just don't need to mess with any of that. Even if they're all healed.
Makes sense.
Just stand over there. You can get the Diggs treatment here. You're not Diggs, but whatever.
Fine.
I don't need to mess with that.
Fine. Makes sense.
I might say the same thing if they can afford to do it about Kincaid. Like he's had, you know, leg, but he's still wearing a big brace on that leg.
Fine.
So I don't need him dressing. I don't need, you know, if I don't think I can call up a practice squad tight end because I might want to prioritize other positions, but whatever. Quentin Morris, Dawson
Knox. You have the other guy too. Davidson.
Is he on the active roster?
No, but He has been called up before.
Right. Oh, that's why I just said. I think they're probably going to prioritize defensive back and offensive line, I'm guessing. And they only get two.
Well, so what do you need to do to replace Kincaid?
Nothing.
Nothing. Right?
It doesn't. Yeah, I play with one tight end.
Fine.
Or I play with no tight ends.
I play like a normal team.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, I got nothing invested in this game at all.
Another way to discuss that is, like, this is a risk-reward, or not even reward. We're not trying to win anything Sunday. But, like, who are the right bets to have sit? Cooper makes sense. What happens in the playoffs if you don't have Kincaid or you don't have Cooper at 100%? Like, they're not really there for you. What does that mean to all of this? Because that's why you want to sit guys like that makes sense. But part of it is just sort of your playoff bet. And who do you think you're going to need that you don't want to lose? And these guys are both interesting. Like Cooper, I don't know, maybe not. Which one is more important?
I still prioritize Cooper over Kincaid. I think the Bills still...
For this playoff?
Yes. I think the Bills still are not in a place where I feel great about them succeeding, winning against a team that's really good at man-to-man defense. And Cooper is valuable for that. To win one-on-one, to maybe even force a team to devote a second guy there. If it's the Broncos, maybe they just put Surtain, because I think they do this, they just put Surtain on a guy like, all right, you're single on him, and then we'll worry about everybody else. And, you know, I think there's value in even having that. Like, I'm taking your best guy, and like, yeah, you might be shutting down one of my guys, but that's what he's going to do. And if my other guys can get off, then I can work around you. So I think Cooper offers something that I think they just don't have. They're not long in it at all. They don't have a lot of it.
I think that's right. But he has 20 catches. So what they've been doing here, winning almost every week since they traded for him, has, what is it, like 2 points X per game with Cooper? It's not like the playoffs are different. That's what you said first.
That's right. And I also think there's value, like I said, if he's drawing your best guy or you're doubling him, that works for me. And I think one of those two things is going to happen, depending on who you're playing. I think with Denver, I'd almost certainly expect them to put Surtain on him and then just worry about the rest. And if the rest is getting their heads caved in, then maybe they pivot. And there's even if you're not producing, I think that there's value in that. And they don't have another guy that really, to me, works that. Like, if he's not in the lineup, then I don't know what Denver does exactly with Patrick Surtain. You know, they just take whoever's lined up across from him and say, that's your dude.
That's a really interesting storyline next week. If that's the team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they played, I'll learn more about this between now and then, but when they played Vegas, they put him on Bowers, and he took away Bowers. Like, right. Bowers is top five in the league in catches, all positions. Like, he's over 100 catches. But when they played Denver, they put their shutdown corner on the tight end, and it worked. I don't know what it's not a perfect matchup for Denver playing the Bills.
Right. Because they don't have a guy that really shines in that way. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base and they do something completely different. But I think I felt this way earlier in the year when we were talking about Cooper and Kincaid both being questionable or something some week. Like, which one matters more? Maybe this was ahead of the Ram game or I don't remember which game.
Yep.
But Cooper was the answer for me then because of everything I'm saying now. And it still is. Nothing has changed in that way. So, I think he should matter even if he's not catching five passes. I think
Shakir.
I don't need him to play, but you know if he takes a few snaps, I don't know. It's not going to drive me crazy. I don't think I need to break glass in case of emergency with Shakir.
Somebody needs to dress.
Right. That's why I'm saying. Like to me, Cooper outranks him, even though Shakir is the far more important and productive player to them this season on the field, and I certainly don't want to be casual about the potential of exposing him to injury here, but he hasn't had a bunch of nagging stuff like Cooper has.
As far as we know.
And He also is a different fit in the offense that, you know, that I'd be very surprised if we came in everybody healthy to a playoff game against anyone and they said, we're putting our top corner on Shakir.
By the way, under 40 yards for the last 5 weeks, Shakir. Catch rate is down. Not much is happening there.
Yeah.
They're winning. Who else? Benford and Douglas are two of my most important guys, period. Like, whatever. I don't need to risk them in this game.
And I have enough depth there. I should be able to make that work. I mean, didn't we even see Codrington taking snaps on defense last week against the Jets?
Yes.
I mean, if he plays the whole game at corner, I'm fine.
I think I'm fine.
I just don't care. I think Benford and Douglas is where I'd start. I mean, Milano probably with all the injuries, like that might cut both ways. Like, I don't know that they still want to keep getting looks at him. So, I mean, there's that, like trying to ramp him up. But man, if they're comfortable with where he is right now, I wouldn't be putting him on the field. But the two corners, I think I even would prioritize the two corners over Milano. But not that you have to. I mean, they've got guys that can play in these places. But the corners, I think, are where I'd start. Because in the backfield, like defensive backfield, Hamlin's been out like a month here or 3 weeks or whatever it is. I might want to get him up and running. Bishop's a rookie, and he may end up really mattering. I mean, who knows? He may end up starting ahead of Hamlin. We'll see what happens. But I don't – maybe Rapp is the guy back there that I would say don't bother with Taylor Rapp today. He's been nursing stuff, and I think his spot in the starting lineup when healthy is – much more firm than Hamlin versus Bishop. I think there's a toss-up on what to do there opposite Rapp. But so Rapp is probably with Douglas and Benford.
We will eventually find out. Sal will join us today at 4 to offer his thoughts on what the Bills might do with their inactives this week and call-ups. Mike White is up. And how important is it that, like, Trubisky not play this whole game? Is Mike White up just to be insurance, or does he play the second half?
Maybe he plays the second half so they can protect their backup quarterback if they need him.
Yep.
That makes sense. And it also, I mean, it certainly prevents the possibility of feeling like you've got to put Josh Allen back in the game if something were to happen to Trubisky. Nobody wants. We talked about that with Sal yesterday. Yep. I mean, you can get by there. You just hand it off a bunch of times and get out of the game, but don't worry about it. So it's not like you'd be exposing Allen to, you know.
Ray Davis is my quarterback 3 before Allen is.
Right. Okay.
There's no reason to risk anything.
But now Mike White's there. And interesting, right? That's a contract even for next year, too. That was a tag on that story. Like, initially it was like they've signed him to the active roster, and then following up on that was, oh, it's actually for next year too. Hmm. So he's,
well,
whatever, he's on the roster.
I'm fine with it.
Yep.
We will have Sam Panayotovich next, Sal Capaccio at 4, picks at 6. Should be fun. Football Friday going into week 18, Bills Patriots here on WGR. Right now it's time for a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Jaden Harrison bringing back the kickoff. He brought two back for touchdowns last year when he played for the thundering herd of Marshall, and he has one for Notre Dame.
Sean McDonough, Notre Dame. I think a team of interest to our next guest over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl last night. So Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, Ohio State.
Righto.
That works, and I'm fine with that. No Alabama, Georgia, good. I'm bored with those teams. USC, I'm old enough to still be bored with USC.
I haven't thought about USC in a sentence with Georgia and Alabama in 20 years.
Nebraska. Thank God they're not in it.
What the hell?
I'm sick of Nebraska being in the playoffs.
My God, what is even – Tom Osborne and Pete Carroll are on line 2.
Yep, well, line 2. Sam Panayotovich, the host of BetQL Daily, line 1. Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more analysis. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. As you know, Sam, I am not like an avid college football guy, But riding along with you on Notre Dame and with Joe, who's a fan, has been fun and so far lucrative.
Two more to go, Mike. Happy New Year, guys. We bet them, you know, 10-1. Bracket came out. Basically, the goal, the thought process was, okay, they'll beat Indiana at home and they'll beat a backup quarterback. So we are in a holding pattern right now. And, you know, we talked this morning, which is certainly not a victory lap because we didn't win anything yet on the future. I'm wondering if I'm going to find myself on Ohio State to just win the title in the next few days, because that's sort of strategically what I think the move would be. And then you just hope that you get Notre Dame through Penn State and hope that Ohio State takes care of business as a 6-point favorite. And then you have the title game. You got 10-1 on Notre Dame and, you know, plus 170 or so on Ohio State and kick your feet up. That could all come to a screeching halt if Penn State wins and Texas wins. But I like the math there. I think Notre Dame's going to win, and I do think Ohio State holds serve.
Notre Dame looked good to me. I don't know names. 44 around the edge, pretty good. Quarterback was tough.
Numbers are fine. Numbers are fine, Mike.
Yeah, quarterback, Leonard, he was pretty tough. And yeah, like Georgia couldn't do much.
The only thing they had going on offense, really, Notre Dame in that game, was the quarterback running, it seemed like. And he did a nice pass there right before halftime off that turnover by 44. Right? But they didn't have much offense, but they got done.
Well, that's what happens when you face Georgia, though, Bulldog. Right, I mean, they've got NFL guys all over the field, and I think the people that are saying, well, Notre Dame couldn't do anything on offense, well, that might be the best defense in the country that they just faced. And people start doing the transitive property and gambling. And if you were doing that on Notre Dame, I mean, how much on Instagram and, like, the TikTok person at our company keeps sending me all these comments of people telling, well, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. Like, that freaking matters in September. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And people are going to sit here and say, well, you know, Notre Dame didn't score. Well, okay, Penn State played SMU and Boise. And Penn State was still sort of in a war despite Boise having 4 turnovers and 2 missed field goals. So we could transitive property each other to death. I was impressed with Notre Dame, and I'll tell you what, the one thing that was not possible, according to the narratives across the country, there was no way that Kirby Smart would be outcoached by Marcus Freeman, and that happened too.
Wow. Yeah, so that guy did a great job. He's getting a ton of credit.
Yeah. Let's give him a bunch of credit.
Yeah, you seem a little sensitive. I wasn't dogging Notre Dame. I was really my observation was that they couldn't do much on offense, but it wasn't, you know, don't worry, I'm not down on your bet, dude.
No. I'm not. I'm speaking to the people on Instagram that have been calling me four-eyed virgin for 2 weeks. Yeah. That's who I'm channeling my anger towards.
So how do you like them with Penn State? And then, I don't know, either of the other two from the other side.
So we'll see if Notre Dame can get by Penn State, and I hope they do. I like the under in the game, 47, to be perfectly honest. I think that's going to be the first of 20 is going to win. You'll see Ohio State be about a 7-point favorite, 7.5-point favorite on Notre Dame. That's a look ahead, at least with my numbers. Mm-hmm. And then if it's Notre Dame, Texas, we're talking about a pick 'em. If Texas can pull the upset, maybe Texas -1. But Texas is slightly ahead of Notre Dame in the ratings, and Ohio State is now, you know, a touchdown better than basically every other team in the field. So that's where they're at. You know, I like betting against James Franklin in games like this. He's taking care of business usually against these teams where he's laying 7 and 14 and 21 points. But when they're supposed to lose or be in a close game, they usually find a way to mess it up. So I just need one more. Like, that's all I'm asking for New Year's, and then we find our next bet.
Sam, you mentioned Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois not mattering, a team that lost to UB. By the way, maybe the next week. I guess also Ohio State losing to Michigan didn't matter, which makes me a little bit sad. I mean, Bulldogs overplaying the Tom Osborne didn't need to be mentioned, but you know, any sort of traditional viewpoint of college football. Do you have, as into it as you are, do you have either a prediction or a suggestion for what they will do next year to the tournament? The 4 bye week teams all lost. I don't know. Do we want a game like Ohio State, Michigan to be irrelevant? Doesn't have to be. Ohio State, Penn State might not have been irrelevant. But, you know, what do you think will be different?
It's a great question. I think what they have to look long and hard at is the number one seed playing that 8-9 matchup. That just should not happen because they just didn't value the regular season at all. Imagine being an Oregon fan right now. Your team goes undefeated, wins the conference championship, does everything right, and then in its first game, Oregon gets Ohio State.
Who they beat.
Yeah.
Right?
Who they beat. And then you look at Texas. Texas plays Clemson, lowly Clemson, and then Texas plays Arizona State. That's an easy path. Penn State, as we mentioned, gets SMU and gets Boise. And it's not fair to the team that did everything right for 4 months and then doesn't get rewarded at all. If anything, it felt like Oregon got punished. I don't have the solution for who gets byes and who doesn't and which teams and which conferences have more weight. But I have to imagine you start with the number one seed and build backwards. So maybe the one doesn't play, the 8 or the 9. Maybe I don't know, guys. Like I don't know what they're going to do if they do anything. But I have to imagine if they're going to go to the drawing board, you have to put the one seed in a much better spot where maybe the one plays the weakest conference, survivor left, or maybe you reseed every round. That could also be a thing. But then again, if you reseeded this year, they'd play Ohio State. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know.
The whole thing, though, like, of course, there's always going to be, however good or bad a system is, there's always going to be, like, critique and, like, how do we make it better? This thing has been a win so far, right? Like, are people down on the expanded? Because I think it's been, the games haven't been all super competitive, but I'm fine with the whole thing.
The initial reports ratings are very good, and I tell you what, I talked to an executive the other day who's very happy about, well, it would have been yesterday, not the other day, very happy about the teams in the Final Four for ratings. I mean, come on, Notre Dame, Penn State in one game, and then Ohio State, Texas in the other. Now, sure, the SEC's, I guess, lightly represented because we don't think of Texas as an SEC team, right, even though they are right now. But you have the Northeast, you have the Midwest, you have the South, and then you have Notre Dame. So it's aside from maybe getting an Oregon, but Oregon's supposed to win. Like, that's Oregon's fault. Oregon didn't play well. I think the brands are strong. I think the ratings are strong. And the most important thing in my work, the handle is unbelievable. People are betting on these games hand over fist, right, and that's what you want.
Sam Paniatovich, our guest. So week 18 in the NFL, Sam, and this is life on the wire, trying to figure out motivation. Joe Ostrowski, your co-host from BetQL Daily, joined us yesterday and said that historically, for some period of time, the teams with, quote, nothing to play for have been the right side overall against teams with a stake. So, like, that's New Orleans, Tampa, that's Kansas City, Denver this week. I don't know. What do you like this week, or is it head for the hills?
The first bet I made on week 18 was Minnesota +3. The second bet I made was the Chiefs to cover and Carson Wentz to score a touchdown at 10-1. Is it going to hit? I don't know, but I played it. They're gonna try and show some stuff with him, and I don't think the Chiefs are a team to just lay on the rails and get run over. They won last year, a game that had no meaning for them, and I like to go against these teams that are facing pressure. The Cincinnati's for the most part, the Denver's of the world, teams that must win to get in, usually slipped up somewhere along the way. So that's the reality. Guys, I'm not going to make many bets though week 18. I mean, here are the quarterbacks starting: Bailey Zappe, Tanner McKee, Josh Dobbs, Jimmy Garoppolo, Spencer Rattler, Mac Jones, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock, Aiden O'Connell, Mason Rudolph, potentially Cooper Rush, Tyler Huntley, and a whole lot of Mitch Trubisky. It's hard to bet games when you just don't know who's going to play well, which teams care, which teams don't. It's not a week I'll have a lot of action. People don't want to hear that, but that's the truth.
I appreciate the thorough job you did in having that list prepared. Did you slip in a made-up name? Who is Tanner McKee?
Eagles.
Tanner McKee, former Stanford quarterback, Bulldog, very, very good player, allegedly. He's the backup to the backup in Philly because you have no Hurts and you have no Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
3 for 4 for 2 touchdowns last week. He did something that's like never been done.
Can you tell I was on vacation 2 days before Christmas and I just came back yesterday, Sam?
Oh, dude, you want to talk vacation?
I missed all the highlights.
11 pounds. I gained 11 pounds in 8 days. I haven't had a fruit or a vegetable since I left Boston.
Oh boy, where was that pizza from?
I believe
Chicago
that.
Chicago yesterday.
That.
Which pizza? I've had six of them. I mean, it's just it's been. And then Ostrowski's like, I'm pounding candy every night before yep. bed, and I'm like, dude, we get in a groove. Like, if I was a betting trend right now, I have eaten unhealthy in 9 of the last 10 days.
Oh.
That's my trend right now.
Abrams would be tweeting about your diet.
While I was off at the very tail end, you know, I know the menu by heart at the joint I go to regularly. Maybe, you know, probably most people do. I was sitting there thinking, I think maybe a Caesar salad with some chicken. Like, I think maybe that's where I'm gonna sit at the bar and eat a Caesar salad with chicken just because I need some roughage.
And then what? That just opens up the gallows, though. I mean, that just opens everything up. Last night, to tell a long story short, we were sitting around, and she goes, what do you want for dinner? I was like, nothing. And she said, I'm feeling lasagna. And I don't want lasagna. Cut to an hour later, I'm eating lasagna with my bare hands. That's where I'm at.
Sounds like a great trip.
Plus, when you drink, like, you just don't really want to eat. You know, like if these are late nights out watching or middays out watching college bowl games.
Yep.
Just don't even want to eat. Well, you liked my schedule predictions?
I think your nails. I mean, you studied it maybe more than anybody I've ever met. So I think you're onto it. I think that's very sensible. The only other thing that I wanted to volley off you guys is there a bet to be made in Buffalo, New England? Like, I don't expect we're going to see a lot of fireworks from Buffalo, and the total is now 36.5. I mean, mm-hmm. Is there anything to do in that game?
I think the thing it's I don't have a great answer for you, but the Bills have completed touchdown passes to 13 different players, and I believe 14 would set a franchise record. So find a guy that doesn't have a touchdown reception. The thing that's tricky here is, like, it could be a lineman for all we know, right? Like, they've got this sixth offensive lineman, Alec Anderson, who's been playing a lot this year, and it would be a nice reward for him doing all this grunt work he's done. But I think any guy there that could catch a pass, if you can find him on the list of, you know, anytime touchdowns, like, that's the bet, I think. But I don't know which.
That's the challenge.
Find the guy, even. Like, can you get action on Alec Anderson to catch a touchdown pass? Probably not.
Very unlikely. It's hard to price a guy like that, too.
Right.
And then the other elephant in the room is, you know, Buffalo's only a 3-point favorite against a team that has its sights set on the number one pick, but is also trying to win the game. Like, how do you nobody wants the number one pick, guys. Nobody.
I think this would be my answer to your question. It would be New England if May plays. I mean, they lost by 3 up here in a game that mattered to the Bills.
Right.
It would be if May plays, which is really interesting if he does, with the number one pick point. He's got a couple of injuries. If they do that, like, and Mayo is trying to prove himself here in the last game and take something from it. That's Brian Flores for Miami in New England when Fitz was his quarterback and they beat Brady. And that was a huge loss for the Patriots. So I would think, like, that would reveal a motivation from the Patriots, from the coach, and, you know, the use of the quarterback that would make me want to take points at home with them against, I don't know, Mike White. Probably for some of this game. That's what I would do.
I understand everything you're saying, but then you look at New England and they would slide from number one overall pick to number 5. And it's just like, that is organizational malpractice.
It is, but it's a year, I think, where you can maybe never justify it. You can never justify it. But it's a year where maybe it's not as costly because they have their quarterback. And, you know, who does it come down to when these games kick off? It comes down to the coach and the players who don't care.
Right. I thought yesterday, Sam, and, you know, we'll see. There's still a couple of days before this game gets here. It sounds like they are hell-bent on playing May in this game, but I don't know that someone up top wouldn't want to even, with, especially Mayo's been sort of on thin ice here the last month or so. I could see up top just trying to even test him. Like, we want you to sit May down. Like, he's our future. He's your future. What are you doing here? And I still feel like that could happen before this game kicks off on Sunday.
At the same time, I could also see Robert Kraft trying to get his fingers out of the finger trap in his office. Like, I don't know if that guy knows where he's at this point. So, if you can talk yourself into both sides, you probably shouldn't bet the game. The only bet that we made all week, Joe and I together, we pounded Derrick Henry to score a touchdown. That was -210. Now it's like 240, 250. He gets 500 large if he scores one more rushing touchdown. It's moved a little bit, but if you want to parlay that with some stuff or play that in like some daily fantasy, I would be surprised if Derrick Henry doesn't score a touchdown.
Makes sense. But, I mean, you're forgetting that they're a 20-point favorite in the wind. Wait, no, that makes it perfect. That's actually the absolute perfect.
You think they're not going to give him the ball for $500,000? Lamar's going to make sure he gets in that end zone.
I bet you're right. Sam, thanks. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk next Friday.
All right, boys. Always fun. See ya.
The host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. That Cleveland-Baltimore game is the first game of the weekend tomorrow at 4:30 ABC for that one. And, yes, it's literally a 20-point spread. 30.5 to 10.5 is the implied total there. Bailey Zappe and the Browns, who put a bunch of guys on IR today.
Sweet.
They're dug in. They are dug in. We'll take a break and talk some more. Sal joins us at 4 today. The Dunn Tire Drive at 5 will be at 5. And then we'll have picks at 6 as usual. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Friday on WGR. Football Friday, Sal coming up. Bills and Patriots, 1 o'clock on WGR Sunday. Adam Schefter has the Rams sitting Matthew Stafford, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and others. What do you think of that?
They can get as high as the 3.
They're the 3 if they win against Seattle.
All right.
Or if the Buccaneers lose to New Orleans at home. They would still be the 3.
And, yeah.
But if they lose and the Bucs win, then they would be the 4 and play the loser of Minnesota-Detroit. Instead of probably Washington. I think
that's that's as wide a variance as I think you can maybe even have once you get beyond that's a big difference.
It's pretty brazen.
Yeah.
The Lions, I am okay with it because they've played both of those teams. They beat Minnesota. Minnesota's 14-2. They beat Minnesota. Week one, they went to overtime with Detroit. Last year, they played a playoff game with Detroit that was close. I don't think he minds having to play that loser after a high-stakes Sunday night game at home versus the Washington-Philly path that they don't have as much experience with and maybe don't think they match up as well with. So I think he's playing. Of course, there's a benefit to the break. Like he's taking that benefit.
Yeah.
I don't think he's afraid of the NFC North.
He must not be, because if he were, then maybe he would be at least, I don't know. What do you do? He shoots and ladders to decide if Nacua or Cups, like one of you's got to play. You start getting into that, and then you're messing with your team's psyche, I think, a little more than you want to be, picking and choosing. I mean, like McDermott's talked a little bit about this. Like some guys got to play. Like everybody can't sit. But what McVay's telling you, like, these are our most important guys, and it doesn't make that much of a difference to me if I'm playing Minnesota or Detroit or Washington if I don't have Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp. And I think I respect it.
I do. I do as well. It's a little bit controversial, though.
Yeah, with a stake and with a significant, looking at the what we think from out here of the options, I mean, option A sounds a lot harder than that's the Lions or Vikings than Washington.
Sal Capaccio next, Football Friday on WGR.